Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is January 4th, 2022. And today I will be sharing more true ghost stories from the web. As always, to find everything related to the podcast, including episodes and social media links, ways to donate, and the email address where you can submit stories of experiences, as well as the link to the Discord, where you can also do that and listen to the live streams. You can visit the website, which is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com, and that's SalSiEO, and we can go from there. I was looking for new stories of paranormal experiences from everyone. I don't have to share names of people or locations. General locations are fine, obviously. So just wanted to throw it out there. And even if you don't have anything you would like to share directly, stories from people that you trust are just fine as well. And also, besides that, even if you don't really have any of those to share, please feel free to share the show with others, because you never know when they might have something to share as well. So, once I open up the file here, I got a bit distracted because I forgot to unmute my phone yesterday after I was done recording. And I went to mute it again tonight before the show. And, I discovered I had messages and phone calls that I missed today because it was still on mute. So, not my proudest moment, but it happened. But anyway, so let me get this file open and then we can begin. Thank you all, as always, for being here, whether you're listening to the live stream or the podcast itself. Release episodes after they're recorded. I always appreciate it. So, we can now get to the stories. This one says, the very first, experience occurred in my childhood home that my father built in the mid-60s before I was born. I'm not sure exactly what year. I sold it in 2016 after my mom passed, and I couldn't find the exact year it was built when I went to pull the deed. It was a three-bedroom ranch in a great neighborhood. There were lots of kids my age, and an awesome place to grow up. Small town in South Carolina, near Myrtle Beach. And that's in the U.S. My father passed that spring, and my mother had a full-time job. She didn't like leaving me by myself. I have a brother that is 9 years older, and the couple next door were retired. And they kept an eye out on me. This was the mid-70s, and there was virtually no crime in this town, so it was relatively safe. On this day, my brother and mother were at work, but the neighbors were home. I was in my backyard playing football with my friends when nature called. I went inside our house to use the bathroom. While doing so, I clearly heard a woman's voice say my first name, followed by my first and last name. Like Richard, then a few seconds later, Richard Johnson. Not my name, but the same number of syllables. It was a pleasant voice with no urgency. It was melodic in tone, almost like it was sung. It was somewhat unnatural. I'm not sure how else to explain it. It wasn't muffled, and it sounded like the woman was in the house. I remember thinking that it was weird, and the voice wasn't a familiar one. Initially, I wasn't scared, as I thought it could have been the neighbor. It wasn't unusual for people to drop by. Our home had lots of drop-in visitors. I quickly finished up and looked around the house. It was empty. I started thinking that I didn't hear the back door open before I heard it. Normally I would have. The back door had a cheap storm door with a little hydraulic arm and spring that would creak and pop when it opened and closed. The front door was almost never opened and locked up tight. Now I'm freaking out. I went next door to ask my neighbor if she had come by. She said no, and asked if someone was in her house. I told her no, and it must have been the TV, trying to hide my fear and anxiety. I was positive the TV wasn't on. Also, no radios or anything else. I didn't let her know I was freaking out inside because my mother was hesitant to let me stay home by myself as it was. If I'd alarmed the neighbor, I'd be sent to a daycare or a relative's house. I knew this and did not want that. Mom had already threatened that if I got into trouble and I wanted to spend the summer with my friends. Oh, I didn't read that right. Anyway. There are possible explanations for this, such as an auditory hallucination, some other person stopping by, etc. I never had any auditory hallucinations before, or since. Another neighbor or family member would not have come in and left so quickly. I was out of the restroom in less than a minute after hearing this. There simply wasn't enough time for anyone to get back to their vehicle and leave. Our driveway was long, with a circle around the front yard. My friends in the backyard didn't see anyone else go into my house. I never said anything else about this to anyone, and I just put it in the back of my mind. I just let it go and went back to playing football. This is the first I remember, and very mild compared to the others to come. I've had maybe a dozen throughout my life, and I'm middle-aged. I've never actually counted them. My experiences have been years apart. As I've gotten older, I believe that I'm somewhat sensitive to the other side, or however you want to define it. And that's where that one ends. That's an interesting one. I seem to go through all the possibilities as to what it could be. At least as far as I can tell as well. But, it's interesting, they did have experiences, but it sounds like they were far apart. So, if that's the case, then I wonder if that means they never had any other experiences in that house. That might lead to what they already suggested, which is that maybe they're somewhat sensitive, but not to an extreme degree. Kind of, I don't know, almost like with me. Although I've had more than a dozen experiences, but in my case, I don't have them every day either, or even every week, or it's just very random. So yeah, I don't know about that one. Those kind of what seem like one-off stories are always interesting because they're even harder to pin down, I think, in a way than several things happen in a place. Then you can maybe see some patterns, come up with some possible ideas of who or what's going causing the activity. So, yeah, interesting story. But I think we'll move on here. Let me see here. Okay. This one says, my husband and I bought a house at the end of last year. It was previously owned by an older lady who had a very old dog and a very old cat. We met the pets when we first came to look at the house with our real estate agent. The cat was curled up on the bed in the master bedroom, and the dog was on a bed on the screened-in porch. I remember feeling badly for them and the lady because it was very clear that neither pet had much time left. Recently, I have been awoken 3 separate mornings by what feels like light little taps walking around at the foot of the bed. We have a dog, but he's heavier. And every time I feel it and look up to check, he's fast asleep on another part of the bed. I have no proof of a ghost cat. I haven't heard or seen anything strange. But I like to think this lady's cat, who has surely moved on by now, occasionally comes to visit their old bedroom. And that is possible. Still wonder about the ghost cat that stops by here once in a while. Although it hasn't for a while, it seems. Of course, now that I say that, something will probably happen. But, I always wonder about that, if it's connected to someone that lived here in this area. Because I live in an apartment building. Someone that lived in this area before. So, it's possible. Yeah. I think ghost cat stories, they always are really interesting to me, just because I've always loved cats. It does sound like it's more likely to be a ghost cat than like another ghost dog. Maybe. They didn't say that the dog that was there before was small, so, yeah, I don't know. It's possible. So we'll go on to the next story here. Let's see here. Okay, this says, this happened to me last year, but I'm still perplexed by it and feel it's quite bizarre. It didn't scare me, but it amazed me. I was on my laptop, continuing to build my family tree. I've been building my family tree for years, but the date of death of my great-grandfather, I could never find in any records. It's one of those frustrating things that I kept coming back to, but with no luck. Excuse me. While searching, and annoyed that I couldn't find what I was looking for, my oven timer went off. I wasn't cooking anything, hadn't set a timer, and was home alone at the time. I went to the kitchen to turn it off, when I noticed the digital panel on the front of the oven had a time on it that wasn't the current time. It read 19:52, but it was only mid-afternoon. Confused, I went back to the computer. I don't know what made me want to input 1952 into my search on the Family Tree website, but I did it. There was a record of a death for a man with the same name as my great-grandfather, listed with a misspelling of the surname. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and to be honest, was more excited to find the record than anything else. I told my mom later that evening, and she thought it was him trying to help me find it. What do you think? Paranormal or uncanny coincidence? That's where that one ends. And anyone who knows me at this point will know where I fall on that answer to that question. I have a hard time believing it's a coincidence. However it happened, it seems like they weren't going to find the name because it was spelled wrong. And even then, the fact that they found something just based on the year is really interesting. It makes me wonder how many other similar stories there are about people digging into the past and getting help in different ways with that. Because people from the past somehow are aware of what their descendants are doing, and for one reason or another, they decide to help. That's an interesting concept, if nothing else. So, I like that story. I like that story a lot. Another one of those stories where nothing scary happened. No one was terribly frightened or hurt or anything. So, I like stories like that. Next one. Let me see here. Okay, so this one says, so a couple of years ago, my brother's appendix burst. While my brother was at the hospital, I had to stay with my grandparents. One early morning, I got a creepy feeling and went to the living room. The fact that it was in the middle of the house made me feel less creeped out. I was watching videos online when, out of the corner of my eye, I spotted something. A shadowy figure of a little boy sitting in my grandfather's rocking chair. The figure sat there for 30 seconds before my grandparents' cat ran into the room, and just like that, the figure was gone. It's not the most interesting ghost story, but I think of it often. And I wonder about that house now. I wonder what the history of it is. It's another one of those shadow figures. It's a very interesting thing. Interesting that it was a little boy, because a lot of times you hear about these things and it's almost like your stereotypical little girl from like a horror movie. That's not really what they seem. In this case, I think it's also interesting that the cat came into the room. I wonder if they came in because they were sensing the little boy there, whatever it was. Whatever it was. Or all that, what the reasoning for all that was. But, yeah, very interesting. Just sitting there in the chair. Wonder if it was, if the, whoever was sitting there was even aware of being seen or noticed by the cat or the writer. Again, this idea that maybe sometimes when we see things, they're seeing into other times, and maybe sometimes we can't see clearly into those other times, and we can't see people clearly, so maybe they appear almost as shadow figures. Very interesting possibility. Could explain some sightings, I think. Obviously not all of them, but it makes me wonder about that. How many are just overlapping moments in time somehow. So yeah, story. Sometimes the shorter ones are some of the most interesting because they're short enough where you really, it leaves you with a lot more questions than some of the longer ones. So we'll go on to the next story here. This one says, so a few years back, my then 2-year-old daughter and I used to spend a lot of time at my mother's place, as she would watch my daughter for roughly 12 to 14-hour days while I managed a golf course. One evening, we were just hanging out with Nana, my mother. Yes, it's the grandma. My mother had a door that led out to the roof where she would smoke. I was taking my daughter to the washroom with myself, and across and down a little from there was the roof door. My mom was outside having a smoke. So when we were all finished in the washroom, I was holding my daughter's hand, and as we walked out of the bathroom, I was looking down at her because she was still uneasy on her feet. I wanted to make sure she didn't trip. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw my mom run past us into the den. So I said, Nana's playing hide and seek. Let's go get her. I picked her up, I guess the daughter, obviously, and started running after her, the grandma, obviously. As I was coming through the den, I saw my mom turn the corner. She was going so fast, her hair was flying up behind. And as we went around the corner, the lights were off in the living room. And there's a tiny open area off to the right side. So before we went in front of it, and with my daughter in my arms, I jumped in front of the closet and yelled, boo. There was nothing there at all. No mom. Then I hear my mother say, and then it's the name of the writer. I'll just go ahead and forget the part out. Chills run down my hair, my body ends up. I said, ah, yes. Where the heck are you? I was frozen stiff. I slowly turned around and went back towards the den and looked. Here comes my mother walking back in from the roof after finishing her smoke. Just incredible. I will never get this image out of my head. My mom was creeped out after that. Down the road, little things would happen, but not actual visuals. It was a huge farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in a small town in Ontario, Canada. They had turned the house into a 5-apartment building. And that's where that one ends. That's a... sounds like a doppelganger of some kind. I don't know what to make of that one. Seems like the mother and the daughter saw the grandmother, or what looked like the grandmother, and but it wasn't her. Obviously, she actually came from behind them once this disappeared. So it sounds like it was a hallway that led there, I think. And so yeah. And if this grandmother was out on the roof, if that was the only door in or out, I have a hard time thinking it could have been staged in any way. Really interesting story. I don't know what to make of that one. But, yeah. Sounds like they saw something. So, alright, we'll go on to the next one here. This one says, when I was 16, I was spending the night at my uncle's house. I was sitting in the living room, watching TV. Excuse me. And waiting for dinner to be ready. When my aunt said that dinner was ready, I turned off the TV and went in to eat. While we were eating, we heard voices coming from the living room. It sounded like there was a party going on. My uncle asked if I had turned off the TV. I said that I did, and even went in to make sure it was off. After we started eating again, we heard the voices again. This time, my uncle and I went in the living room, and the TV was off. We went outside and looked around the house. There weren't any neighbors out, and there wasn't any noise. Later that night, when I was trying to get to sleep, the doorknob on the room I was in started shaking, like someone was trying to get in. I knew that it wasn't my aunt or uncle. Their house had wood floors that creaked when you walked on them. I heard no creaking, so I just thought, go away, I'm trying to sleep. And it stopped. And that's where that story ends. Sounds, like they may have had their company there. I don't know. Yeah, the voices thing could be a residual, maybe. Although it is funny that it would start and stop like that. It always makes you wonder about that. So. Doorknob, yeah. I don't blame them for wanting, basically, trying to send out the vibes that, no, I don't want to deal with any of that, and it's good that at least it stopped. So, but yeah, sounds like a busy, active house, at least for that one night. So, I don't know about any others, but definitely, and it was more than the one person, so when you have validation like that. So we'll go on to the next one. This one says, this is a story my aunt told me. It says my dad's cousin. It says, when she was around 11 years old, they used to live in, I don't know how to say this word, but they're similar to Native American teepees between two mountains with two small towns, also in each fjord. Fjord, F-J-O-R-D. So she is 60 years old now. She was young, and they didn't have a car to travel with. One day, her mother, my grandpa's sister, asked her if she would go down to the large marsh and cut some grass. We used to cut grass that we put into our fur shoes to keep our feet warm and dry. Those grasses found in forest marshes are the best to use. Really interesting. They packed some food, took their sickles, and those are kinds of blades that you use to cut with, and walked down into the forest and the marsh. The dog was also really excited to come along. They started cutting and gathered up quite a lot of grass through the day. When the moon had started appearing, when her mother decided that it was enough, they had packed a huge cloth piece and tied them between two trees. They decided to stay there for the night. They lay under it, safe from all the blood-sucking insects. The dog is also sleeping with them. Then, all of a sudden, her mother sits up. The dog also raises its ears. She asks her what's going on, I guess the aunt. Her mother tells her to be quiet. Then she hears it. Voices. They hear voices coming from the woods. They both go outside to check. But immediately when they go outside, it turns quiet. They think that it was probably people fishing or drinking. They go back inside to sleep again. Excuse me. Then as they are about to fall asleep, the voices are heard again. This time, even closer. This time they can hear that it's a language that they don't understand. Again, they go out and check, and sure enough, the voices stop. Again, they go inside to sleep. But the aunt sees that her mother is not sleeping. So she is also wide awake. Then again, the voices are heard. They hear just one word, and they know what language they are speaking. That word is her name, and it says it's Hitler. Her mother told her to stay inside with the dog while she goes and checks. Sure enough, there's no one there. Her mother comes inside again. She says there's no one out there. She also says that it's just the marsh that it's playing with them, and that they could sleep peacefully. So my aunt does fall asleep. The next morning, she wakes up and looks at her mom. She sees that she hasn't slept all night and has been up. They decide to quickly pack up and walk back home. So in the place we have huts now, which is above the marsh and the forest, there is a small bunker close to the road. It was used in World War II for something, and it still stands there to this day. So obviously that story took a bit of a turn there. Sounds like they may have run across, I don't know, either some spirits or residual energy of soldiers, maybe that were in that area. And I wonder if, doesn't say, but if what part of the world they're in. Very, very interesting story. So, yeah. That caught me off guard when I read that name, obviously, but it made sense in the end, in a way, and so that's why I decided to share it. But, yeah, I mean, you hear that about, you hear people talk about seeing and hearing people and even weapons fire on battlefields all around the U.S., probably elsewhere. So, I don't know. That was an interesting story. But, makes you wonder what the context is of that. So, yeah, good story. glad they made it out of there. Although it does sound like the mom had a rougher night, staying up all night and just keeping watch. So, I have one last story here I'll read for today, and then that'll be it until tomorrow. So, I'll get this one going here, and we'll go from there. This is the first time here posting in this community, but not my first time talking on this website about where I work. I work nights at a hotel in the southeast, I'm guessing the U.S. In the past, I've seen full-body apparitions in the kitchen and the lobby. The internet at large doesn't seem to know this property is haunted, and management would prefer it stay that way. What happened tonight, though, is new and scared the heck out of me. I was sitting in the back office, taking a moment to get off my feet after setting up the coffee bar. I figured it's Christmas Eve, and we're at less than 40% occupancy. If someone does come down, I'll spot them on the camera, and I can go out to the desk. But I should be fine to relax a minute. I'm there for about 20 minutes, which is longer than I usually dare spend kicking back and really relaxing during a shift. I'm listening to a podcast and glancing from screen to screen. No one on any of the cameras. No motion. Nice and quiet. And then, an elderly female voice punctuated the silence and howled, "Hello?" I only had one earbud in, and it didn't come from that. This was somewhere in my physical space, but firmly outside of the back office. I jumped out of the chair, skin crawling, and ran for the door while putting away my earbud. Excuse me. Had I just missed someone coming off an elevator? Was there a blind spot on the cameras I haven't noticed or something? No. Lobby was completely empty. Music was playing at a low volume. The speakers weren't turned up loud enough to be audible in back. This is the first time I've heard one of the ghosts here. I didn't like it one bit. And that's where that story ends. And, hotels. There we go again. Hotels. And, that's very much... Hotels seem to kind of fall into two groups in that regard. They either embrace the paranormal and they'll even advertise to some degree, to varying degrees, that they're supposedly haunted. Or they try to keep it really quiet. They don't tell anyone. At least not officially. Sometimes you'll find stories from people that talk to hotel employees, sometimes even former employees. And you'll get stories that way. But, yeah. Sounds like this hotel was one of those. Where staff aren't supposed to really talk about it to the guests. So, I thought that was a very interesting story. And yeah, hotels are definitely... I need to make a list of this. Because they're on that list of places, like I always say, that so many of them seem to have activity in them so often. Hotels, hospitals, or medical facilities. Just those kind of places. So. But, that was an interesting one. So that's all I have for today. I always gather about 8 stories, and lately we've been getting through them all, but sometimes we don't, so that seems to be a good number for the show, so. But, thank you all for being here and for listening, whether it's to the live stream or to the recording on the podcast feed. I appreciate everyone listening either way. And tomorrow night, I'll be back with more True Ghost Stories from the Web. And this Friday, I believe, I won't say because I don't know for sure yet, but we'll be covering a topic. Fridays are always, almost always, the topic-based episodes. So I will, once I know for sure, I will let you all know what that's going to be this week. Again, I'm always looking for suggestions, so if you want to reach me through Discord or my email, both links to both can be found on the podcast page, which is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. So, thank you all. Take care and have a good night.